Hey, church family! Wow, this is so exciting. I don't know about you, but I'm pumped. And obviously not everybody's here in the building, but I'm so thankful to see those of you who are here. Those of you who are online, still joining us at the same time. We love you. We miss you. We're glad that that you're joining online with us. And it's just good to be here. I have to say, so it's been pretty sad. And I know Kevin can attest to this too, and also the worship team. Singing and preaching to an empty room is like just a big downer. It just really is. And it's hard to have like the same, well, anything, enthusiasm and excitement. It's just hard when you're looking out and there's like nobody there. And so it's really cool to be able to be back together as the people of God as we worship the Lord and sing, and then also to be in our new building. So we're excited for the Lord's provision for us to have a new place to meet in, which God's timing couldn't have been more perfect because schools are closed, and so we couldn't have met there anyway. And so we're excited that God's given us this new place, and we're excited to be together. I think it's fitting that we've been walking through the Book of Psalms, right? These past several weeks, each week picking a new psalm as we walk through that together. This week, we're looking at psalms of praise and thanksgiving. So I think it's fitting that we are excited and we are praising the Lord for how He's opening things back up, although we're still in prayer for those that are still heavy under places in New York City and other places that are still seeing some lots of struggle because of COVID-19. So we continue to pray for those that are continually impacted, but we're also thanking the Lord for what He's done, where He's brought us so far, and just thankful for that. So I think it's fitting that we're in Psalm of Praise this morning. Now, saying that, the book of Psalms is jam-packed full of praise and thanksgiving. And so, like, studying and praying this week, trying to think through, okay, like, trying to settle where the Lord wanted me to be, was a little bit difficult because there's so much good praise songs that are in the book of Psalms. I mean, there's things like, I kind of, looked at Psalm 145 for a while, just a great psalm of David as he prays out to the Lord. Psalm 145:1 says, I will extol you, my God and my King, and I'll bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I'll praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. And you look at places like Psalm 134, I read there for a while, and come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion who made heaven and earth. Continue on there in Psalm 135. It says, praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Give praise, O servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord and in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to His name, for His pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for Himself, Israel for His own possession. I went back and forth on different psalms saying, okay, this is beautiful. This is great. Let's settle here. Let's talk about all that the Lord has done, and let's praise the Lord. There's just so much that's in the book of Psalms. But I didn't settle there. Instead, the Lord led me to Psalm 103. So why don't you go ahead and turn to Psalm 103. That's where we're going to spend our time this morning. There's something that jumped out to me in Psalm 103 that I want us to kind of spend a few moments on this morning. And that is that in this Psalm of David, he gets very specific. He gets very specific. So a lot of the Psalms are jam-packed full of, cries of praise. Praise the Lord. All you nations, praise the Lord. Every tongue, every tribe. But this one, he gets very specific in that praise. And we're going to look at that in just a minute. But one thing that I noticed looking through the book of Psalms is that nowhere is it suggested that we praise. It's a commandment that we do. So singing, especially with men, singing isn't optional, right? It's something that we're called to do. We're called to proclaim. And whether that's with in English or in Burmese, or whether that's in sign language or whether it's in some other language, we're called to sing praises to God. It's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. It's something that we are called to do. And there's lots of reasons for that. But I love this one specifically, how he gets very specific. And let me explain what I mean by that. So, if any of you have ever watched many romance movies, any fans of romance movies if you've ever watched any Hallmark movies or romance movies or things like that, inevitably there's a scene where it just happens all the time where they're confessing their overwhelming love for one another, and in doing so, a lot of times the woman will look at the man and say, "Well, so what do you love about me? What things do you love about me?" And then, like Ben Affleck or Ryan Gosling or whoever the latest heartthrob is, will, you know, just like eloquently, you know, just expound upon every beautiful thing that they love about that person. They're like, "I love the way that, you know, when the wind blows and your hair falls down and brushes the side of your cheek. And I love the way that when you get angry, your nostrils flare. And I love the way that your hand fits perfectly into mine." And the women are just like weeping. "Oh, so beautiful." And the men are like, "Unbelievable. Are you serious? Like Ben Affleck didn't come up with that. Come on. Like, he had a line that he had to read. Come on. Like, it's not real." And we're like, "Unbelievable." And then here's what we know is about to happen, ladies. We know that in just a moment you're going to turn and look at us, right? And you're like, "Okay. So what you got? Lay it on me. What are some things that you love about me?" And that has got to be like one of the hardest questions to answer on the spot, right? So listen, there's so much that I love about Danielle, but if she asked me in the moment on the spot, "All right, so lay it on me. What you love about me?" I'm gonna be like, "Babe, a whole lot of stuff. Like, you know, like, yeah, what, when your hair falls down, like, besides, no, like, it's like, there's so much that I love about her, but in the moment, but if you give me a moment, if you, like, just let me just, like, pause and think and reflect, and then I can say some things, like, wow, yeah, I really do, like, one thing I tell her all the time is, like, I love, like, one of the favorite times of seeing my wife is when she first wakes up in the morning. Like, I love it. I love the way when she wakes up in the morning and she's just kind of like still half asleep. And it's like, it's the most adorable thing in the world. And so I love that about it. So like, if you let me pause and think, then I could tell you things and one thing after the other, things that I love about her, that God has gifted me with her. In this passage of Scripture, David is pausing and he's reflecting and he's going to praise the Lord. He's going to praise God very specifically. And I think it's important that we take time to pause and reflect and to praise God, not generally, not just generally, like, yeah, I'm so thankful for God, I want to praise you, God, but I want to get specific. And so here's what we're going to do. As we walk through this passage, my challenge for you is to start looking through and thinking through specific ways that you can give praise and honor and thanksgiving to God, specific ways that you can praise Him, because you're going to see some examples in this passage. So, Psalm 103, if I gave you time to get there, let's start in verses 1 and 2, and we'll work our way through. Psalm 103, 1 and 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits." Some translations may say, "Praise the Lord," some may say, "Bless the Lord." The idea here in this word is to praise and honor and glorify the name of the Lord, and then he's going to get specific as to why. And I'm going to break this passage down in two parts, all right? So the first part of this is found in verse 1, and that is, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." So the first thing that David's going to do in this rest of this passage is he's going to praise God for who He is. So it starts with who He is. Right, so it's God's righteousness and His holiness and His character. We're starting with God. All praise must begin with who God is. And so it's when you look at the nature of God and the holiness of God. And that's where we need to start and dwell on, that He is essentially and magnificently holy and completely separate from us and other than us and higher than us. And that His thoughts are higher than us and His ways are higher than us and His characters is higher than us. In fact, it's portrayed in Scripture, the holiness of God, as such a powerful thing that even when Moses in the book of Exodus would say to the Lord, God, show me your glory. And God would speak to him and say, Moses, you can't handle my glory. In fact, if I were to let you see me right now in all of my glory and all of my righteousness and holiness, you would die on the spot. And so he says, you can't. And so then the Lord actually says, well, here's what I will do, Moses. I will hide you in a rock and I will cover your face from me so that as I pass by, you see the passing of me. And the Bible tells us that even at the passing of him, that Moses' face glowed from the glory of God. And so we see this picture of God in the Scriptures of this is magnificently holy. And so David starts there. So in his praise, in his worship, in his adoration, in his thanksgiving, it begins with with who God is. He's holy. But then look at verse 2. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. So then he's going to transition from who God is to what God does. So who God is, his character, his holiness, and then he's going to transition to now we're going to praise and thank the Lord for what he does. That is important because everything that God does flows out of who he is. So God's righteous deeds and his righteous works flow from his righteous character. Another way to say that is that God does what he does because of who he is. All right? God does what he does because of who he is. So God judges sin because he's righteous and holy, right? So he judges sin because he's righteous and holy, but he also he saves sinners because he is compassionate and gracious and merciful. And we have to hold all of those together. And so we cry out here to bless the Lord and forget not all of his benefits. So it starts with the holiness of God, who God is, and it goes to what he does. Forget not all his benefits. All right, so in my wallet, I have a AAA card. Anybody familiar with AAA? I was looking them up the other day. So AAA, I looked up last night. I have, a part of my AAA Plus membership, I have 27 pages of benefits. Like, it's a whole list. Like, 20, because I was like, I'm going to print my thing, I'm going to bring it. And I was like, no, I'm not. Like, I print 27 pages. And it's like, it lists benefit after benefit after benefit after benefit of, you know, when you're driving, if you get locked out, you call us and we'll come and we'll get you a locksmith. If you're breakdown, we'll call somebody and we'll change your tire. If you run out of gas, we'll bring you some gas. And it goes one thing after the other. But what I didn't know is it actually extends further than just traveling. It goes into, you can actually get discount concert tickets, and you can get discounts to places like Disney World or Busch Gardens. Or you can get, there's all kinds of benefits that I can receive as a result of being a member of AAA. Now, there's a difference here, though, between a kind of membership that we enjoy because I pay AAA, actually, I shouldn't say it. My mom pays AAA. Let me back that up. So my mom and dad got me a membership to, that sounds really bad, but so I enjoy the benefits that my mom and dad give me as a result of their membership to AAA. But there's a difference between that kind of benefit and the benefit that he's talking about here, because notice there's a key difference. Look, what does he say? He says, and forget not whose benefits? Forget not his benefits. Here's what that means. It doesn't say, you know, bless the Lord on my soul and forget not all the benefits that you have or your benefits because of who you are. It's that these are God's benefits that he shares with us. So God's holiness and righteousness and salvation and redemption, all those are his that he has given to us or gifted to us, and so that they're his benefits that he has brought us into. Right? So we get to enjoy the benefits of God. his benefits because of who he is and what he's done and what he has given to us. So then David has this conversation, this self-conversation of bless the Lord, oh my soul. He's talking to himself. You ever talk to yourself? Well, he's talking to himself and encouraging himself and his soul. Like, listen, soul, don't forget all that God's done for you. Don't forget where he has brought you from. Don't forget everything that he has given you and done for you and all that he is. Don't forget those things. And now let's get specific. Look at verse 3. So here's going to begin to list these things. Who forgives all your iniquity. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He begins to think, all right, soul, let's think. Let's reflect on all that God is and all that he does. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your salvation, for you forgiving me of all of my sin. Thank you for healing me of all my diseases and redeeming my life from the pit, crowning me with steadfast love and mercy. Aren't you thankful for the forgiveness of God? If it wasn't for the forgiveness of God, none of us would be here. Right? We haven't earned it. We don't deserve it. But yet God freely bestows it on those who place their faith and trust in him. The second part here, it says that he heals all your diseases, is interesting because it's listed in the Hebrew in parallel with forgiveness. So that he forgives all of our iniquities and he heals all of our diseases. And so most commentators think that speaking here, he's not necessarily speaking of physical healing. He's talking about spiritual healing, right? That he heals the greatest disease that ever stood opposed to us and against us that we have ever fought, right? Greater than any kind of COVID-19, greater than any kind of malaria, greater than any kind of cancer is the cancer of sin. And that he has forgiven of our iniquities and that he has healed us of our diseases. Now, we do know that God heals, right? We know and believe that God still, even today, heals of diseases. But we got to be careful that we don't put too much weight or significance in physical healing over and above that of spiritual healing. Let me explain what I mean by that. We long for physical healing in so many ways. Like right now, in our church family, there's lots of different things going on. I know some people that are watching online, some people that are in this room that are battling some physical difficulties and struggles. And in a large part, we long to be relieved of those things, right? But that's not always the case. We're not always delivered this side of eternity. It's just not always the case. But we do know that God does heal. But I want us to be careful that we don't, like, look over the spiritual healing and long for the physical healing. And it's kind of like this. So, you guys ever been to a jewelry store? When you walk into a jewelry store, you are just like, I mean, the shiny lights and the diamonds and the gold and the necklaces and the earrings. And like when my daughter Hannah walks into a jewelry store, she just like lights up because it's just so shiny and it's beautiful. And she, oh, I want this and I want that. And she just loves all those beautiful things. Now, if I were to say to you and walk you into a jewelry store and say, everything in here is yours. It's all yours. Everything in this, it's extravagance. It's all yours. I'm giving it to you. How silly would it be for you to look outside? Now, to contrast that with, you ever been to Country Cooking or those outside of a restaurant and they have those little like 25-cent quarter jewelry machine thingies? Right? Now, my kids also light up with those. They also want those things. They also want, Daddy, can I have a quarter? And then they turn the quarter and you get this cheap little plastic green frog ring, right? And that's what they, oh man, they want this beautiful thing. But how silly would it be for me to say, I want to offer you everything that's beautiful in Jared's jewelry store, which is a real thing. So if I take you into Jared and I say, it's all yours, anything you want, and you say, well, that's really cool, but you gave me all these things, but you didn't give me the green frog ring. Like, what's the deal? Why won't you do this? Like, why won't you just get me that green frog plastic ring? And I think sometimes when we come before the Lord, like yeah, God, forgive me of my sins. I'm thankful for that. Thank you for that, God. But why won't you just heal me of this disease? Why won't you just take this stuff? Like, thanks for saving my soul from hell. But if you would just do this, I think sometimes we put way too much weight on physical healing when the greatest healing that we could ever receive is the salvation of our souls that we have in Christ Jesus. So let's not forget. So David's taking your mind there. Don't forget. Don't forget what he's done for you. Don't forget the salvation of your soul, the forgiveness of your sins, the healing of your diseases. And he says that he redeems your life. Don't forget the redemption of God. Don't forget where you were in the deepest, darkest pit when he brought you out. Don't forget those things. He crowns you with steadfast love, this covenant, faithful love and mercy. And he satisfies you with good. Don't look for satisfaction in all these other places, because it's only truly found in one place. And so he brings your attention again that true satisfaction is only found in him. You can look anywhere and everywhere else. You can search far and wide, but you're going to come up empty every time until you find your satisfaction, your soul satisfaction, in the one who created your soul. So he says, don't forget these things. Continues in verse 6, the Lord works righteousness and justice for those who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. I think what's cool here is now he's getting even more specific. So now he's drawing their attention from all that God does to a specific time in which he did it. All right, so follow that. So yes, God's merciful and he's gracious and he forgives. But do you remember when he did that? So now he's going to take him another step further and say, "Remember? Do you remember Egypt? Do you remember when you guys were there, you were slaves and you were in a foreign nation that wasn't your own? Do you remember the day in, day out, the time that they whipped you and they spat at you and they starved you? Do you remember that? Do you remember what God did in that moment? Do you remember? Do you remember the redemption that he has brought to you and as he broke the chains of slavery? You remember that? Do you remember when you guys got to the Red Sea and you were stopped and the Egyptians were coming after you and you were about to die? Do you remember that? Do you remember what God did? Do you remember when he spread open the ocean so that you could walk right through? Do you remember those? And so we see what he's doing? He's getting your mind, he's getting their minds to remember the goodness and the faithfulness of God. That's what we have to do too. Our souls are so prone to forget all that God has done, and we can get into this, like, I don't know, this cold sort of hard-hearted demeanor where it's like, things are good, I guess things are all right, you know, whatever. But if we would just pause and reflect and remember on all that God has done for us, would that flood our heart with joy and thanksgiving and praise for what he's done for us? So he says he works righteousness and justice for those who are oppressed, and the Lord is merciful and gracious, and he will not, verse 9, he will not always chide or rebuke, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins. I'm so thankful that he doesn't deal with me according to my sins. Or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the steadfast love towards those who fear him. He does... I think it's interesting here. So last week, Pastor Kevin was preaching in Psalm 51, right? Do you remember that Psalm 51, a psalm of repentance? So we looked at that passage when David had sinned against God and he was broken. He was called to account. He was called out. You're the man. You're the one who was doing these things. And then he falls on his face before God in repentance. And then Kevin pointed out something really cool in that passage where David uses three different words for sin. So he talks about transgressions, he talks about iniquities, and he talks about sin. So what's interesting is that he talks about transgression, is that is the breaking of the law of God. He talks about iniquity, which is like moral filthiness. And he talks about sin, which is missing the mark. And he uses all of those words to describe what he did before God, right? Well, what's interesting that now is that fast forward in David's life, so now he's repented of those sins, and now in this passage, he uses the exact same three same words, But now he uses them in praise and thanksgiving to God for what he's done. So now he's going to use them again in verse 10. He says, he does not deal with us according to our sins, missing the mark, nor repay us according to our iniquities, the spiritual filth. And then look down in verse 12. So as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. So he gives us this picture, transgression of crossing the line. So it's like kids, if you ever see a construction zone, and there's like this yellow tape that says, you know, do not cross, and you cross it anyway. That's transgression. Iniquity is this idea of moral filthiness. So think about like, kids, think about like disgusting, rotten fish guts, all right? And it's like covered all over your body. That's pretty gross, right? Say that's gross, because that's gross. That's really gross. And so think about that, but what David's saying is that God cleanses us of that. He washes us clean. He completely makes us new. And then this idea of missing a target, like an archer who's shooting an arrow, and we have one job to hit that target, but we can't hit it. We fall short every single time. And so God, by his grace, in forgiving of us of our sins, he sent Jesus, who was the only one who ever could fulfill the righteous law of God. And that Jesus did that on our behalf. Verse 12 should be highlighted in every Bible. For as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. See that word? What does he do to them? He says he removes them. Say remove. Remove. He removes them from us. What did he do with them? Do you remember what he did with them? He doesn't just like push them aside. Remember what we talked about on Easter Sunday, where he placed them on his son Jesus. So the sins of you and me and the world are literally taken off of us and placed on Jesus and paid for on the cross. So remember that word that we used, we talked about it on Easter Sunday, tetelestai, that Jesus Christ took your sins and on himself, and he paid them in full on the cross. Tetelestai, paid in full. So he's removed them from us. And so the Lord shows compassion. Look at verse 13. As the Father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion on those who fear him. I know not all fathers are compassionate. Maybe you had a father who wasn't compassionate. But the picture here is that if you've ever seen a father who shows compassion for his kids, for his sons or for his daughters, I love it. I love if I'm in a grocery store somewhere and I see a father reach down in tenderness and pick up their child or show compassion to them. You know, whenever you see that, it's a picture of God's tenderness and compassion to his children. We don't always do it perfectly, for sure, but it's a picture of what God does for us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who, last word, fear him. For those who fear him. Now we've seen that three times. We see it three times here. Look at verse 11. So great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. Verse 13, the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Verse 17, the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. All right, so that's one of the last things I want to look at, and I think it's important that we understand. The fear of the Lord, the scripture talks about it often, to fear God, to fear the Lord. Now listen, what this does not mean. This does not mean that we should be scared and afraid of our Father in heaven. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that we should run around always afraid that we might get struck by lightning. That's not what it's saying when it's talking about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, literally, to fear is to live in awe of him and reverence to him. And then I would also add that awe and reverence leads to obedience. So I live a life in awe of him, of who he is, his character, his nature, his magnificent holiness. And as a result of that, it plays out in a life that is lived in obedience to him. So the fear of God is a response of the heart that recognizes God for who he is. All right, so it recognizes God for who he is. So in the previous verses in verse 1, I think it was in verse 2 and 3, it talks about righteousness and the justice and the whole, three words, righteousness, justice, and holiness of God. The fear of God is living a life in response of those magnificent attributes of God that is ultimately plays out in a life of obedience to Him. Verse 14, so He knows our frame. He remembers that we are like dust. For as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and it's gone. And the place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. And His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. And then finally, verses 20, He gives us this final invitation, right? So he's been calling us to remember and reflect on all that who God is and all that God does, and He's going to invite us into this, okay? So you ready? Here's our invitation. Our invitation here is to bless the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of the word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers, and all who do His will. And then listen, bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, all my soul. So here's what He does. He starts in heaven. You know, right now, every angel and every heavenly host and every being in heaven is singing the praises of God continually, forever and ever, and it's never going to stop. And so it's this beautiful picture of the throne room of heaven, of a worship service that's going on there. And then it's a worship service that you and I are invited into, that we're invited into to live a life that sings forth and shouts forth the praise of God. And that's what we are called to do in this moment. So here's what I want us to do. I wanted to leave us a few minutes. So Leah, would you come on up wherever you're at? We're gonna have a few minutes, and I want to put this into practice. All right. So kids, if you're listening, in your kids' packet, you have a little activity guide. Inside, there's a place that says space for you to write down specific ways that you can praise the Lord, specific things that you can be thinking of. And thanking God for and praising God for. And maybe that's your family, maybe that's your parents, or maybe that's your dog. Maybe it's something that has happened in your life and you want to praise God for. What do you think about that? So you're just going to pause and you're going to think. Parents, families, adults, we're going to do the exact same thing. We're going to put this into practice. So if you've got a pen, if you've got an iPhone, I want you to begin to say, okay, in this moment, lay aside distractions, and we're going to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to lay out for you in this moment some specific praise. Specific ways that I want to praise and thank and honor and bless the name of the Lord. I will begin with who He is. And then we would go to His works, His marvelous works and deeds, what He does. So I'm going to be quiet. Take the next few minutes. I want you to jot down whatever the Lord brings to your mind and to your heart, ways that you can begin to shout forth the praise of God. as those things come to your mind, why don't you take a moment to just praise, to voice those praises to Him. The worship team is going to come on up. And now that we've talked about this, now that we've prayed through this, now that we've reflected on this, now we're going to sing this. We're going to sing this out together. We're going to sing of the goodness of God. We're going to praise Him for who He is. And I want to say this. If you're here this morning, maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're really struggling with the idea of praising God for maybe things that are going on in your life right now. And you want somebody to talk to you about it. You want somebody to pray with you. I love that we can be in the same room. And so that if you want somebody to pray with you, we will pray with you in a heartbeat. Maybe you have questions about your relationship with Jesus, on where you're at with that. And on maybe you really struggled in your relationship with God and you want somebody to pray with you and over you. Maybe you have questions about how you even begin a relationship with Jesus. And we would love to talk to you about that. If you wanted to, I'll be down over here praying. The altar is open if you want to come and pray as we sing. If you want somebody to pray with you, we'll be right here. If you're online and you would like somebody to pray with you, you can click that button and a host will join you and begin to pray with you. If you have questions about anything that we've talked about, we'd love for you to reach out. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing out the praises of God together. Sound good? All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your amazing love. We thank You, God, that You don't treat us as our sins deserve, because that means we would be cast away forever. But thankfully, by Your grace and compassion and mercy, You have sought us. You've called us to Yourself. You've redeemed our lives from the pit. You've forgiven us of our trespasses. And so this morning we praise You. We praise You for Your infinite holiness. And then we also praise You for Your tangible compassion that we get to see and experience. Lord, I thank You for Your kindness. I thank You for Your patience. I thank You for Your wisdom. Lord, that you do take bad things and work them together for good. And so we pause this morning, we reflect, and we praise. Lord, and I do pray, if there's somebody here who does not know You, has questions about You, is struggling in their life, that they would seek out right now in this moment, that they would fall on their face before You, and they would walk out of this room changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.